All right. I'm just going to read one verse there, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with him. He's talking about Israel. So, I'm just talking about strange God for a few minutes here. And we need to, it's in the Bible a lot, so we need to understand what he's talking about. Amen. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the songs. Thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now and help us and strengthen us and quicken our minds that we could listen tonight and receive the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, the word strange, we use it to mean a lot of things now, but we need to understand what he's talking about here. Dictionary says that it's to turn aside, to be a foreigner. Stranger is a foreigner in the Bible. Now that's what the word means. When the Bible says he was a stranger, that means he was in a foreign land. He wasn't in his own country. He wasn't with his own people. He was with another people in another country besides his own. Strange. Strange. Get it? It means profane also. Dictionary says that strange means profane. All right, it means to commit adultery. It means another. You know, that's strange means another, someone else. It means foreign, belonging to another country. It means not domestic. You know what domestic means? That means to do with the home. When the cops answer a call for domestic violence, what's going on? There's a fight going on in a house somewhere. Yeah, in a home. They're fighting. The family's fighting. The husband and wives are fighting. That's what a domestic disturbance. Well, it's a good thing the cops don't get called to every one of them, ain't it? No, really, it's unbelievable what's going on nowadays. It means new, not before known, heard, or seen. The former custom was familiar, the latter was new and strange to them. This is how the dictionary explains this. It means a lot of different things. Odd, unusual, irregular, means uncommon, unusual, unacquainted, strange, strange. All right, so it's a strange God. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Get it? The Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. So it was God who led them, not any other God, not any strange God. There was no strange God. It was God. They knew. A strange God is always perceived as the same as God himself. The God who created the heavens and the earth, a strange God is always presented as him. You listening to me? They don't say, this is a different God we're serving. We don't like the God that created everything. We're going to serve another God. No, that ain't what they say. They say, we're serving God. And in our day, it's even more deceptive because they call him Jesus. But their Jesus is a strange God. What I see going on, yes, sir. I read the Bible and it tells me about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. And what I read in the Bible is not at all what I see going on all around us in this day. Nobody can say in this day there was no strange God with him because there's lots of them. Lots of them. Dad was saying a while ago about him asking some girl or college kids, you know, and one of them said about how many genders are there, and one of them said there were 72 genders. Now, that's how crazy people are. And so when it comes to God, it's the same deal. I mean, they just see God any way they want to, any way you can imagine, any way you want to pretend, it's good. It's real. It's just as real as anything. And it's all pretend and phony and fake. There's only one God. And that's the God of Israel. That's the God who created heaven and earth. That's the God who gave the law. It's the God who gave His Son. It's the God who's going to judge this world. And the rest, any other variation from what the Word of God gives us is a strange God. I don't care if you call Him Jehovah. I don't care if you call Him Jesus. He's a strange God. If He doesn't measure up, if He's not like what the Bible says God is like here. So a strange God is always perceived the same as the God of heaven by the casual observer or the careless professor. They just think God's God. You know, you got people so ignorant of anything spiritual or anything about God, they're so ignorant that they say, well, the Muslims and the Christians are serving the same God. I mean, ain't we all trying to get to the same place? Don't we all serve the same God? No. No. They serve and worship the sun god of Arabia. They don't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's nothing like Him whatsoever. No one who serves a strange God will declare that they're doing so. Nobody's going to say, I serve strange gods. I serve a strange God. They'll sometimes be fervent and zealous in their worship of the strange God. Oh, yes, they will. They'll leap on the altar and cut themselves and cry aloud and pray all day long to their false gods. They'll form armies and have the wars back then? Oh, my goodness. Crusades, yeah. Like the Muslims, they're going to force with the sword everybody to convert to Islam. How you do that? We've been reading this book, and that woman, and they called her in again, and they were going to kill her if she didn't surrender and renounce God and join the Nazi party or whatever it was. Nazis, I guess, or communists. No, the Communist Party. And she said, well, he had a gun. And said, are you going to renounce it? Are you going to join? And she said, but you just don't understand. The party does not believe God. And in order to be a part of your party, I have to say that I don't believe in God. And I believe in God, and nothing can change that. And he pulled the trigger, and the gun wouldn't go off. And it made him mad. He told some of the others later, he said, my gun won't even kill her. But nothing can change it. You believe in God, nothing's going to change it. Baal was the most well-known strange god in the Old Testament. Here's some things about Baal. He was versatile. He could be whatever you wanted him to be. All things to all men. Baal. You could just make him whatever you wanted to. Each town or village or city had a different Baal named for their location. Read your Bible. I mean, it's Baal this and Baal that. And Baal was a prefix to whatever the town was or whatever they were wanting to express. You could just put Baal with anything like they do now. They just put God with anything. Jesus with anything. Christian with anything. If it's, you just put that Christian prefix on it, or God prefix, or Jesus prefix, or Lord, and it works. It embellishes everything. That's the way Baal was. He was a God that you could just add to anything, and it'd make it better. Yep, he was versatile. The noun Baal comes from a verb which means to marry or to rule over. Ain't that something? Think about that. Baal worship in Canaan revolved around two themes that represented the conception of Baal his worshipers held. Two things. Baal was both the sun god and the storm god. He was worshipped as sun god when the people wished to express thanks and gratitude for light and warmth and fertility. Worship of Baal as storm god took place to appease the destructive nature of Baal, demonstrated by drought and storms that devastated the vegetation of the worshipers. The efforts to appease Baal, whenever adverse conditions prevailed, culminated in the sacrifice of human beings, usually the firstborn of the one offering the sacrifice. The victims were burnt alive, a practice in the Old Testament termed to pass through the fire. 2 Kings 16:3 and 21:6. Baal worship was as diverse as the communities in which he was worshipped. Each locality had its own Baal, who was named after the city or place to which he belonged. Baal was considered the owner or possessor of the land on which his followers lived. You see how fervent they were in their beliefs, how religious they were. Their god, Baal, owned the land they lived on. I mean, boy, they made him strange god, though. That would destroy you unless you burnt your firstborn child alive in the fire to show how much you feared him or to appease him. It's funny how people get that idea of God. You know, and I've heard Baptists, I've been in this for 40-some years now, and I've heard Baptists have the same concept of God. He's an angry God, and you got to watch it, boy, or he'll get you. And in all the bad things that happen to you is because you have displeased him. You got to just watch your step, or he'll clobber you. He's just waiting with his big stick, just looking for a chance to destroy your life. Now that's Baal. That ain't God. That's a strange God to do that. God is love. His mercies are new every morning. His mercy is everlasting. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why will you die, O Israel? Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my burden is my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Boy, I don't sound like a God that's... And then Jesus came and he was the express image of his person. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. Was he like that? No, he was kind to the unthankful and the evil. 10 lepers came, he healed them all. And they all walked away, and only one returned to say, thank you. But they all got healed anyway. Now that's God. Baal ain't like that. What do you think of God? Your God. The one you serve. You think he's like that? Do you think of him like that? Those who worship Baal always look for good news and good prophecies from the prophets of Baal. They like that good preaching. That good positive preaching, that good encouraging preaching, that would they just wanted good things. Now that's Baal. That's a strange God who's got prophets that don't never have anything bad to say. They don't never give a warning about sin. Don't ever rebuke or exhort or chasten. Baal don't, you know... That's what the prophets of Baal. You know, Ahab worshiped Baal. Isn't that what it is? Remember how he called a prophet and he said, see, I told you, he always prophesies evil against me. Because this prophet was of God, not of Baal. And Ahab is wanting to worship Baal. You see, if you are a Baal worshiper and you worship strange gods, you're going to have a real problem with the prophets that God sends. Because they're not going to say nice things to you. And they're not going to make you feel wonderful inside. Baal worship was the same as the prosperity gospel of our day. If you study your Bible and look at all the examples and instances and mentions of Baal and the worship of Baal and the people who worshiped him, you can see it very clearly. Very clearly. It was a Baal. is a name common to the true God and to false gods. I've got a funny looking thing on my paper here. I have no idea where that come from, and I can't read it, so it's in some other language here. But it's like the Hebrew name. A Hebrew name common to the true God and to false gods, and used by believers and by idolaters. The name Yahweh, by which He is known especially to the people who are in covenant with Him. Do you understand what that is saying? Baal worshipers called their God Yahweh. I see a lot of people doing that now. They claim to be Christians, and they insist that you call God Yahweh. I wish they could understand it. That's what the Baal worshipers did too. His name shall be called Jesus. I am the Lord your God. I am the Almighty God. That's good enough for me. I don't have to have a familiar human name to give to God. It rubs my spirit the wrong way to hear people talk about God like that and call Him these weird names. Yeah. The Apostle Paul never called Him Yahweh. You don't see it in your Bible anywhere. Where does it come from then? I'd like to know. Are these people so spiritual? Have they got new revelation? I mean, has the Holy Ghost of God showed them something that He did not show Paul and the rest of the writers of the New Testament? No. You better just call Him Jesus. You better call Him Lord. Like all the believers have for the last 2,000 years. And not get on some newfangled bandwagon of these law keepers. Yeah. Worshiping a strange God makes the true God seem strange to you. When you get these weird ideas about God and you start modifying the way you worship God, you know, I know a bunch of them, man, they're doing all kinds of things. They keep the feast, they worship on Saturday, you know, they forget, and then work on the Lord's Day. And, you know, mercy. We're in a world. But you know what seems strange to them? We do. We seem strange to them. It seems strange to them to have the Lord's Day instead of the Sabbath. It seems strange to them to have Jesus as the Passover and celebrate the resurrection instead of celebrating the Passover. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered Him. Acts chapter 17, verse 18. Encountered Him. Who? And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because He preached unto them Jesus in the resurrection." Now here's a bunch of pagans saying, "Boy, He seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because He told them about Jesus in the resurrection," and that was strange to them. They said, "He's a babbler." Thought He was a nut. They insulted Him. They esteemed Him very lightly and accused Him of being the idolater. So the idea that there's a strange and false God who seduces people away from the true God is clearly laid out in the Bible. That's the presentation God always makes about strange gods, is that they seduce and deceive the people into serving these strange ideas of God. Here it is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. He said, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He's talking to the church at Corinth. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. See, Paul's saying, I'm afraid of you guys. I'm afraid that you're going to believe anything comes down the pike. Some preacher come in here and preach some other gospel, present some other Jesus, show you some other spirit. You're going to swallow it and be deceived and go off following a strange God. That's what he's saying. And then he said again in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Ain't that something? Another gospel. Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. He's speaking to the Galatians. Same thing. You've already strayed from the path here. You're already listening to junk, and you're getting your ideas of God and Christ all mixed up and watered down. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And there still are. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know what that means? Let him go to hell. That's what it means. He said, if I come back and preach something different than what I told you before, let me be accursed. That's what he said. If I or an angel from heaven. Joseph Smith must not have read that. Because that's the whole basis of Mormonism, is that an angel came and told him special things. Yep, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He repeated it. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, Jesus said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. Jesus said, there's going to be a lot of them come, and they're going to say that I am the Christ. They're not going to come saying they're the Christ. That ain't what he was saying. They're going to come saying that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Christ. And they're false prophets. They can say the right words and people swallow it. You're supposed to have more discernment than that. There's a spirit also. You're to try the spirits to see if they be of God. Just because the words may be right, what about the spirit? What about the life that's behind those words? A strange God doesn't answer prayer. Bible's got examples of that. Elijah, Mount Carmel, we mentioned a while ago. They're leaping and jumping on the altar all day long. Can't get Baal to say nothing. He won't answer prayers because he ain't real. He's not a God. He's a figment of their imagination. So they don't answer prayers. Strange God doesn't answer prayers. God in heaven answers prayers. Now, you can tell real easy. Does God answer prayers? Yes, he does. Baal answer prayers? Nope. You won't get an answer. You won't get any comfort. You won't get any peace. You won't get any burden lifted. Because he can't do nothing for you. He can't hear. He can't see. Because he doesn't exist except in the imagination. Baal doesn't deliver from sin and its guilt. I've seen people in churches all my life as a Christian who never get any peace in their soul. They claim they're saved. They claim they trust the Lord, and they don't have any peace. I can tell you exactly what's wrong. They got a strange God. They ain't trusting in Jesus. You trust in him, he'll give you peace. He'll remove the guilt from your soul. I mean, he'll remove the burden. If it won't go away, you ain't looking to the right God. Simple. As simple as it can be. Baal don't do it. Any other strange God don't do that. They don't forgive sin. They don't redeem souls. They don't make a person a new creature. Doesn't require holiness in the lives of his followers. Baal don't. If you got a God, if you're God, whoever you are, wherever you are, doesn't matter where you're at in the world, what country you live in or what, if your God doesn't require you to be holy, like we talked about last week in Leviticus 19, then you have a strange God, not the real God. Because God said in Leviticus 19:1-2, last week where we read there, ye shall be holy. I am the Lord thy God. Now Baal never says that. He don't care if you're a whoremonger, a drunk, a thief, a murderer. He don't care. You can be a good worshiper of Baal and be any of those things. So what about all this modern Christianity that anything goes? Is that really God or is that some strange? That's a strange God they're worshiping. That don't, where there's no problem for them to be any kind of a sinner, involved in any kind of habitual sin to sodomy, up to and including sodomy. And you can still be a Christian. So that's Baal. That ain't God. He doesn't love those who serve him. Baal don't love those who serve him because he don't answer their prayers. And besides, there's no such a thing. He's a figment of the imagination, so he can't love. You don't receive love. You don't feel loved. You can't know your love because he ain't even there. That's why they gotta carve out an image, because he ain't there. But at least when they make an image, they got something that they can look at and they can touch and they can kiss and all of that. That's why idolaters have to have an image to worship. That's why they get so hung up on things and objects and curiosities and, you know, these Catholics and all of their weeping images and rocks and everything else. Here, years ago, that guy sold a piece of grilled cheese because it had a Virgin Mary showed up on it in the skillet. And it brought him a lot of money on eBay because people like that kind of stuff. The Shroud of Turin, you know. The bones of Peter. It's just like, oh, wow. I don't have to go to Israel and put my hands on the Wailing Wall. I don't see how that would do anything for me, really. Nah. I mean, it'd be neat to see where Jesus walked, but my goodness. I wonder how much has changed since he walked through there. I know how much everything's changed around here. In just a few years, let alone 2,000 years, how do you even know he walked there? My goodness. I don't have to have that mystical stuff, and neither does anybody else that worships God. That's strange God stuff, where you're fascinated with relics and things like that, religious relics. No, he doesn't love them. And he's angry and demands appeasement through sacrifice and suffering and revenge. A strange God's always about self-exaltation and pleasure and indulgence. A strange God is profane and full of pollution and uncleanness, and so are those who worship him. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. That's in Genesis 35, verse 2. Why? Where were they going? They were going to Bethel. And he said, and this is one of the things, we're going to meet God. Get rid of these strange gods. Get rid of these ideas out of your mind about what God's like, that you picked up from these heathens and pagans and wicked people around us, and out of your own wicked hearts. Get rid of them and be clean. You mean they were dirty? Yeah. You worship strange gods, you're going to be filthy and defiled and dirty. Because anything goes. And there's no bounds and no boundaries and no restrictions. That's why Baal's so popular with ungodly people. Does anything in those verses sound familiar to modern contemporary worship? Be clean and change your garments. They must have not been dressed right to go to Bethel. Jacob didn't say, that'll do. Come as you are. We don't want to make anybody feel bad. We don't want to dress up and make somebody else feel bad. No, he said, change your garments. Be clean. Change your garments. We're going to the house of God. There's a whole message right there that needs to be preached in our day. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. Genesis 35:4. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up. Just always inventing some new god. Wow. It sounds so familiar to me. Whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. That's in Deuteronomy 32:16-18. There where we went tonight. Now, a strange God is like an adulterous relationship. You saw in the definition of the word that it meant adultery. No, it means not domestic. That was in the definition. Not domestic, belonging to others. Webster. Strange God. Judah hath dealt treacherously. That means unfaithfully. And an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God. Malachi 2:11. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor. See the Baal Peor? Now, I don't know what that means exactly, but I know what it means in Spanish. It means worse. Peor means worse. All right. And ate the sacrifices of the dead. They joined themselves also unto Baal Peor, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Psalm 106:28. Then in Deuteronomy 32:16, they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. We just read this. With abominations provoked they him to anger. And ye shall be holy unto me. For I the Lord am holy. And have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. Leviticus 20:26. I think I read that to you last week. Someone involved in adultery will be cold toward their true mate, and yet very excited and passionate toward their inordinate companion in iniquity. Is that true? Yes, it's true. It applies. Don't you see? That's just what God, I'm showing you what God likens strange gods too. This is how he views it when people make up their own idea of God. When they call this affection of their heart by his name, that's abominable. They provoked him to anger with their abominations. Given to some imaginary thing, what was really God's. It belonged to God. So, they're looking for something new and exciting. Instead of security and safety and provision provided by the one who has committed himself to them. I shall never leave you nor forsake you. I will go with thee. God said it to them over and over. He said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll stay with you. I'll go before you. He provided for them. He protected them. He delivered them. He strengthened them. But they just wouldn't stay faithful to him. That wasn't good enough. That wasn't exciting enough. It wasn't thrilling enough to them. They had to have something else. Somebody else. Something else to thrill their wicked spiritual fantasies. They must forsake and betray the one who truly loves them for one who is simply using them for selfish reasons also. That's an adulterer. That's what happens. And religious people do the same thing. They forsake God for fantasy, for false things that don't amount to nothing. But God talked about them having baskets with holes in them. Do you have a strange God? If the God you worship is not holy and does not own you, lock, stock, and barrel, you're serving a strange God. Because the God of the Bible is not like that. I've told you before about some people years ago down in Arkansas. They told me, a deacon's wife told me, she said, "You're talking about total commitment. And we're not ready for that." Deacon's wife, not ready to be totally committed to God. But we can keep this church going. And we can do everything. We can be a Christian and do everything a Christian does without being totally committed. I mean, we're going to hold back. Shack with Jesus. That's what we're going to do. No commitment. We'll just move in and... No, don't work like that. God won't have that. You either be His or you're not His. You either give Him all or He won't take nothing. He ain't going to accept you on your terms. He's going to accept you on His terms. And you're going to have to submit to His terms. Or you don't belong to God. Now you can set your own terms and set your own rules and make your own God. But it ain't God that created the heavens and the earth. He is your enemy and He will judge you. You can go on and serve your strange God all your life if you want to. And you can badmouth everybody that does serve the real God. And you can badmouth God. But you'll be sorry in the end because it's all a lie. And it's the deceit of your own heart. So if the God you worship doesn't own you, you belong to a strange God. And if the God you worship doesn't mind you being profane and lewd and your talk and your actions and living, then you have a strange God. If you can just do anything and it's okay, nobody's got a right to judge you. You are an idol worshiper and you have a strange God. And if you ever want to have any hope for your soul and if you want to have any peace in your trouble, then you better get rid of your strange God and come to Bethel and meet the real God. If the God you worship and serve hadn't delivered you from sin, you have a strange God. Amen. I believe that. God delivers from sin. That's what Jesus came for. And that is what He does. And if He don't do it, then it's all just a bunch of lies and junk. And we might as well just throw it all to the wind and go join the party. Jesus saves. And He delivers. And if your Jesus hasn't delivered you from your habitual, continual sin, you got a strange God. You ain't got the Jesus of the Bible. And if the God you worship doesn't cause you to care more about others and less about your own comfort and pleasure and welfare, then you have a strange God. That's kind of rough, ain't it? You're to love your neighbor as yourself. You're to esteem others better than yourself. We're to work and labor with our hands so that we can have to give to them that are in need. Not so we can have for ourselves. That's what God does for a person. He makes you care about other people. Now the message of today is you have to learn to love yourself before you can love others. And it's all about self and it's all about self-love. That's a strange God. God don't never tell you that. Jesus said if you love your life, you're going to lose it. Oh, well. The God you worship doesn't cause you to care more about others. He's a false God. God will not play second fiddle to a strange God any more than a husband would settle for being a part-time husband to a wife while she spent her time with other men and left him at home. Now, ain't no man in his right mind would put up with that. And all these murders and calamities you read about, it's so easy to see what caused it. And it's always this. Man goes in and shoots up the place and shoots everybody. I mean, it's always a man and a woman gets killed by some other man. And you don't have to tell me what's going on. I mean, you're just really pretty dumb if you can't figure it out. That's his wife or his girlfriend. Yep, jealousy is the rage of a man. Now, God is not going to put... God is a jealous God. He's not going to share you. He ain't going to have no polyamorous relationship with God. There shall no strange gods be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. Psalm 81:9. That's very straightforward and plain. You're not going to do it. Not and be mine. It's not going to be that way. It's me or them. You can't love God, love the world. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. Manasseh did that. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 15. Manasseh was son of Hezekiah. He was a very wicked king. He went beyond. He did worse than anybody. I mean, the stuff he did was unbelievable. But then he repented. And he tore down all these altars of strange gods that he'd built and threw them out of the city. Put away the strange gods that are among you. God told him to. Jacob told him, Moses told him, Joshua told him, Samuel told him, Isaiah told him, Jeremiah told him, and the other prophets talked about the strange gods they were serving and warned of judgment to come because of it. To put away means to withdraw, to get away from it, to abandon, to leave alone and pay no attention to. Put it away. Get away from it. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your mind. For good. Don't just set it in the corner. No, get it out of the house. Don't leave it within reach. Get rid of it completely. Burn it. Put away the strange gods that are among you. To put away means to get rid of it. For those who will not put away the strange gods and serve God only, this is what God himself promises. Listen. Let me give you the scripture here. I've got to turn the page. But it's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 16 through 25. There's a verse or two we've already read of this. But they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, and with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not. To new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. That's contemporary worship. New gods that newly came up, who their fathers feared not. You get it? Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
We're reading in Deuteronomy, man, way back in the Old Testament law and telling us what they did back then. They did the same thing that this generation's doing right now. New gods that like rock and roll and like immorality and don't care how you dress, how you look, where you go, what you do, who you shack with. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Oh, they're worshiping, but they ain't got no faith. Because they got a strange God that don't deliver them from sin and guilt, doesn't require any holiness, doesn't love them, doesn't answer their prayers. They ain't got no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. So that's what God said will become of those who won't put away the strange gods. They destroy themselves. And it brings all the destruction upon them. God punishes sin. And sin is brings forth its own punishment. You know, that's what I've said before. The wicked destroy themselves. All you got to do is just sit here and watch what happens. They're going to destroy themselves. You better just keep your distance from them. That's called separation. If you want to live, if you want to have any kind of walk with God, you got to keep your distance from Him. Put some space between you and this wicked world that's full of idolaters and Baal worshipers. Strange gods. You know what a strange God is? God is God. And there's some basic things about Him, and we covered them tonight here. What God does for sinful men and how He treats him in this life. And how He saves them and redeems them and all that, and what He does for those He saved. If your God don't do that for you, you need to check your God. You believed another gospel, received another Jesus. Maybe one that's newly came up. Amen. All right, well, stand with me. Lord, we do thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for how clear it is in the Word of God. Wish I could make it clear. Wish we weren't so tired that we could receive it better and understand it better. But Lord, I pray that You'd take some of the things that we looked at here tonight and help us, Lord, to have a closer walk with You. And not mix in any strange God or ideas of God in our life, in our mind, our perception of You. Lord, I pray everybody here, the kids, the young people, everybody would have the right idea of God and know You and not just follow other people and listen to all the nonsense that's going on in this world and all of the foolish, false, and outrageous ideas about God that are floating around everywhere. Please help us, Lord, to walk the straight and narrow way. Help us, Lord, to walk close to You. Go with us now. Lord, be with the sick and these that are grieving this week. Please help them. And help us to be a blessing as we go from here. Watch over us through the next few days until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.